feels like I am falling. Like the ground has suddenly opened up and I'm going down and down into the darkness, into Sheol itself. I wonder how far I'll have to go till I finally hit the bottom. What's down there at the end anyway? I've been trying to hold it together since the Sabbath, but I haven't really succeeded. It feels like I've been split open. I can't stop crying. I try not to let anyone see how much of a mess I'm in. So today when the opportunity came to leave this place, I took it. I needed to get out of here, leave Jerusalem behind, and go back home to Emmaus with Cleopas. We leave mid-morning. The sky is a crisp blue, with white clouds shuffling along. At first we don't say much. I just concentrate on putting one foot in front of the other, and discovering the ground, apparently, is still solid underneath my feet. Even though it feels like I've been falling into this steep, apparently the world is solid. Then Cleopas starts talking. Do you remember when we were walking through the grain fields eating the kernels and we were accused by the Pharisees of breaking the Sabbath? And then Jesus got into them? I still laugh when I remember their facial expressions. They were so taken aback. He's ignoring what we've just heard before we left Jerusalem. And I follow suit. I think back to when we were on the boat together during the storm and Jesus calmed the wind and the waves with a word. Oh, and Jesus entered the dead girl's room and spoke to her, and then she was alive. I say, yeah, nobody could stump the Pharisees like Jesus. I mean, nobody could do what Jesus could. Feeding all those people with just a few fish and pieces of bread. There was nobody like him. I can feel my voice beginning to break, and so I stop speaking, brush the tears from my face, and finish my sentence. And then they killed him. Probably took his body and have done something terrible with it. Cleopas' hand touches my shoulder, but he feels far away. All I can see is the heavy stone rolling across the entrance, cutting out all the colour. I know. They won't get away with it, comforts Cleopas. Pilate, Herod, those guards who beat him, that crowd who called for his death, they won't get away with it. One day they'll have to give an account before God. God has a plan. Maybe what the women saw means something. I brush his hand away from me. God's plan. Where was God on Friday? It feels like he left. Maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe all the things I've believed and trusted in are meaningless. Maybe there is no such thing as love, goodness, truth, justice. Maybe this is all there is, a moment in time, brief color, and then darkness. Maybe I've spent all this time praying to nobody, nothing, following nothing, giving my life to nothing, nothing in me and nothing. I really thought Jesus was, but it doesn't matter now. There are footsteps behind us. Someone walking at a faster pace. I glance back and see a man who lifts his arm in greeting and sprints to catch up with us. Sorry, can I ask what you're talking about as you're walking along? It seems serious. We stop. I can hear the man catching his breath. I can feel my heart beating, hear the birds. The day has warmed up. I used to love opportunities like this. To talk about Jesus, talk about God's kingdom. So many conversations have taken place on these dusty roads. But now my throat is dry. I look down, kick at a rock on the ground. Cleopas speaks for me. You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard the news. Are you a visitor? How have you missed it? Missed what? About Jesus of Nazareth? I speak this time. It comes out harsher than what I intended. This man probably doesn't even know who Jesus is. Doesn't know how wonderful and surprising Jesus is. Was. How he would get down on his knees and touch the untouchable, heal them, let women learn and become his disciples. He was an extraordinary person that the whole world should have known, and now he will be forgotten. Cleopas elaborates for me. He was a prophet. No, he was God's Messiah, I mutter. Cleopas continues. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. But our chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him, I mutter. I don't want to see, but I can see him on the cross where the soldiers crouch nearby, tossing lots to work out who will take his clothes. I can hear the other women weeping. I can hear the shouts, "You saved others. Come on then, save yourself." I can smell the wine vinegar in my nose again as they offer it up to Jesus, and he splutters, tries to say no. We had hoped that he was the one who's going to redeem Israel, but he died 3 days ago. Cleopas pauses and I can feel him glance at me. I keep kicking at the rock and start walking again. I hear Cleopas and the man walking behind me. Cleopas says, "Some of our women brought some strange news to us this morning, just before we left. They went to the tomb early. They needed to finish some of the burial preparations. It's all a bit of a rush trying to get him into the tomb before Sabbath began, and so they returned today. But he wasn't there. The body, I mean, it wasn't there. Probably stolen," I mutter. But I keep listening. "The women said they saw angels. Angels announcing that Jesus is alive. Impossible, right? Our friends, Peter and John, they went to check and the body is definitely not there anymore." Strange, isn't it? Who would take his body? The men have fallen in step with me. I should have gone with the women this morning. I refused. I didn't want to unwrap his body in the darkness, but now I wish I had. I don't know what difference I could have made, but I wish. Don't you get it? Startled, I look at the stranger. I mean, how foolish are you? How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. My heart starts thumping. Didn't the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? I mean, it seems pretty clear in the scriptures. Well, I guess. Tell us more, please, Cleopas asks. It really begins with Moses, the stranger says. I've been falling down a black hole ever since they came for Jesus and took him. I've wondered if there would be a point when I'd finally hit the bottom. But as I listen to this strange man who clearly knows his scriptures, as he tells us this story, a story I've heard before, but it sounds different this time. It's like God is with us, burning in the center of my darkness. This story of God warms me up when nothing else has. A story about love, goodness, truth, justice. A story of people falling into darkness. Death swallowing them up, suffering coming in like waves, and yet through it all, God jumping into the darkness, opening up his arms. I can see how every point, through every story, every covenant God has made with our people, when we came to this land, when we were cast out of the land, in every poem and song that my people have sung, in every tear, in every act of rebellion, when the temple burned, when the temple was rebuilt, there is Jesus fulfilling it all, completing it all. I can see Jesus choosing to surrender to death, to suffer in order to crush death. I want to open up my arms and meet God here right now. The man stops speaking. Somehow I've missed the afternoon. The sky is a dark blue, just a single star is out. I want him to keep speaking. My heart is slowing down again as he starts to say goodbye, says he has further to go. No, please, I blurt out. Stay with us. You must be hungry. Eat with us. It's too late to keep traveling. Well, okay then, he replies. We enter our house and I rush around getting food on the table. I'm in a daze, going through all the words the man has spoken to us. Maybe it's true. Maybe Jesus is alive. I mean, it does seem like that is what our scriptures point to. How did I not see this before? I sit down at the table and hand our guest some bread. He smiles at me, picks up the bread, gives thanks to God, breaks it, and hands the piece to me. My hands are shaking. My heart is shaking. It's Jesus. It's Jesus sitting at my table. He's the one who we've been talking and walking with this whole time. How did I not see it? I taste the bread in my mouth. I can't remember the last time I've eaten. It's like color exploding on my tongue. I blink and he's gone. I turn to Cleopas. We both begin to speak at once. I knew it. That was Jesus. He's alive. Was your heart burning? My heart was beating so fast the whole time he was speaking on the road. My heart, it was thumping. His heart was beating. I heard him breathing right next to me. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Of course, we should have noticed earlier. I mean, who knows the scriptures like Jesus? I get it now. He had to suffer and then enter his glory. We've got to go. We've got to go right now and tell the others. We grab our food, our cloaks, and in a flurry run out into the night, hearts racing. It is true. He is risen. It is dark as we run, but all I can see is color. I want to bake bread and feed it to others. I want them to discover Jesus sitting at their table. I want hearts to burn. I want to create something that expresses the hope I now have. I want to pass this peace onto someone else, have their hearts race too. He has risen. Risen indeed.